Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my three decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions. Now, let's go to the Gemba. Hi, Mark DeLuzio here for episode 49. This episode is called The Productivity Hysteria. And why am I calling it hysteria? So many people today are looking at productivity as an indicator of their lean progress. And there's probably nothing wrong with that. But the one thing I will tell you is that productivity, quite frankly, is a lagging indicator. And what's it lagging? What should we be looking at? We need to be looking at key drivers, which are process-based. The whole notion that we're focusing on productivity kind of instills some level of distrust with our operators in that, we need to kind of monitor them because they're not going to do a good job unless we keep track of them, right? Now, by the way, that might be true for some because I know there's always a few bad apples in there. And, you know, when you get into a union environment, it also gets a little bit more, you know, complicated. However, fundamentally, people do not want to show up and do a bad job. They want to come to work and have a productive day. And you might argue that, you know, when you have a day full of chaos, a day full of firefighting and problems, that's a sign of disrespect, especially when you're asking people to get better, but you don't offer them the framework to get better. You don't offer them the time, the training to do Kaizen, the support and the resources, but you do want things to get better. Why? Because you put posters up on the wall and you drew all the yellow tape and you have your Gemba walks every morning that tell you the same lagging indicators that they did the day before. So what do we mean by a lagging indicator? One of my earlier episodes, I talk about this in one of my problem solving series. And I'm going back to see if I can find what that is. It's episode 21. It's problem solving, part 4, leading versus lagging indicators. I would go back and listen to that if you get a chance. But really simple, a lagging indicator is not the driver. It's the end result. It's kind of like when I look at the scale and I want to lose weight. That's a lagging indicator. That tells me I am losing weight. But what do I need to manage? What I need to manage are my calories, my how much I get to sleep, my nutrition, my exercise regimen. If those are the right connecting leading indicators, my lagging indicator will move in the direction I want it to move. Well, productivity is no different. Productivity is a reflection of how well you have designed your processes. When an operator doesn't make 100 pieces a day because that's what you set your tack time at, is that because the operator was incompetent? Maybe they weren't trained. I don't know. Is it because they are slowing down? That might be signs of a poor process because it introduces fatigue. But if you're doing standard work correctly, you're taking your time observations with a normal work pace, not something really fast, not something really slow. But let's start looking at the reasons why a productivity number doesn't get made. And first of all, let's talk about what productivity is. It's very simple. It's your outputs divided by your inputs. Miles per gallon. Pieces per hour. And there are a couple of ways to affect productivity. One is you could take the inputs and keep those constant and have higher outputs. You can have the same outputs and lower inputs, or both of those measures can move in the favorable way where inputs go down and outputs go up. And there's a double whammy there in terms of productivity. Those are the three ways that you can affect productivity. I hope I got them all. I think I did. Okay. But why is the output being constrained? Why didn't you get that 100 units? Those are the things we have to look at. Maybe I have chronic machine downtime. Maybe I have a poor supplier. Maybe I've got inherent quality problems. Maybe I've got a design issue where the product is just not designed very well for manufacturability. Happens a lot, especially in the more high-tech type industries. There are a lot of reasons why I don't get my quote-unquote productivity. Now, besides the fact that, you know, just focusing on the operator and the productivity creates a sea of distrust in your company, okay? You want your operators to help you solve the issues. Matter of fact, they're the best consultants. At the end of the day, they're the best people to solve the issues at hand. Does your Kaizen framework solicit their input? So A, it's their idea, and you're going to get the best advice from them anyway, because they know the job better than you, and they always will, okay? I always said the further away you get from the work, it's an inverse relationship between the quality of the suggestions that get made at the highest levels. So this obsession with productivity, and I'm not trying to say productivity is not important. I'm not trying to say cost isn't important. Don't get me wrong. But are your productivity and labor costs your biggest costs to produce? Many companies I go into, labor costs are 9% of the total costs. We're totally ignoring a lot of the other cost buckets. But if you get your process right, you'll improve your quality, you'll reduce your lead time, and your productivity will take care of itself. Now, when you get into the situation where you're measuring productivity on some standard cost efficiency variance, that is mind-blowing to me that we still think like that today. One company, for example, in one plant, if they hit 55% of their efficiency, that's considered good. In another plant, if they hit 90%, it's considered good. Well, why the gap? Because the standards are just wrong, okay? And by the way, the standards will always be wrong. I'll give you a measure maybe you could think about. I like to call it tack time conformance, where let's just say you're supposed to make 100 hours a day in a given time period that you used to calculate your tack time, which is typically 8 hours, minus your breaks, maybe a morning meeting, whatever, cleanup time. You don't put cement in there. I have a whole episode on tack time way back to episode 6. Please listen to that, because people want to reduce the available time by all kinds of abnormalities like changeover. No, we don't do that. Okay. So when you look at your total output in that given time that you use to dictate tack time, let's just say it's 100 units after that 8-hour shift, you know, again, taking out all breaks and everything else. And at the end of that 8 hours, if you get, instead of 100 pieces out, you get 90, your tack time performance is 90%. Okay, now that's a team-based issue here. Not individual, it's a team-based. It's either on a cell or a work area or whatever. My tack time said I needed to get 100 out and I only got 90. Why? Oh, that machine went down. Oh, supplier didn't deliver. Oh, we had absenteeism and couldn't replace people in the cell. So forth and so on, right? So that tack time performance is a really good number to look at. And then you figure out, of those 10 units that I missed, why did I miss? I like that better than productivity, because it's customer facing. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute, Mark. We worked an extra hour or so to get the extra 10 units out. So my tack time performance really is 100% because I got 100 units out that day. No, no. You should stay to get the 10 units out, because if your production schedule is based on true demand, you need to get those out. You can't shut somebody down. You can't not ship to your customer. Remember, safety, quality, delivery, cost in that pecking order. Cost is last. Delivery is higher than cost. So yeah, you will incur overtime cost for the sake of that higher level delivery metric. See how SQDC works? So you don't get to count those extra 10 units in your number because you didn't do it within the allotted available time that you used to calculate tack time. Okay. I like that number better than productivity, but we're obsessed with productivity, by the way. We're obsessed, and many times we're just hoping it's going to get better because we looked at it and, you know, and we think it's a discipline problem. We think it's an operator problem. No, it's a management problem. The management problem in that we don't have good processes, and we as leaders are responsible for providing great processes to deliver great products with great people. I'll leave you with this one adage from Toyota. You probably have heard this before. Toyota gets great performance with ordinary people working on great processes. I want you to think about that as we go through. So I call this a productivity hysteria because we're just obsessed with it. I should probably have called it productivity obsession. But anyway, we'll leave it at that. And if you have any comments or questions, please email me at Mark, M-A-R-K, at lean911.com, L-E-A-N-911.com. Mark, M-A-R-K, Mark at lean911.com. Love to hear your thoughts, and we'll see you next time. This was episode 49, and we're getting to that magic 50 in a bit. But anyway, hope things are well. And again, email me with any comments or questions. Love to hear from you. Thanks. Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark at lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark DeLuzio. Thanks for listening.